As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Every Tuesday, we head down to City Hall, knock on the door at the mayor's office, and let's see. Well, there's Mayor John Hamilton. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. Thank you very much on this great civic holiday of Election Day.
It is, and primary day today. Now, we know the turnout's not going to be perhaps what it would be or even close to be during a presidential election, but it is a chance to make your voice heard, and as we were telling everybody, you have until 6 o'clock tonight to do so. And as we always remind people, Mayor Hamilton, it's great for the early voting. You only have one place to go, but once we get to the actual election day, you must use your own precinct. I know you've studied the law and are very familiar with it. We heard the news at the top of the hour talking about some communities trying vote centers. What is the angle behind precincts and perhaps the apprehension to using vote centers? Do you have any insight on that for our listeners?
Well, change is hard. That's the main thing. I mean, I think vote centers would be very advantageous for everybody. It just makes it more convenient. You can look on a map and see what's closer to either where you live or where you work or where you go to school or where you're having lunch or whatever on election day. So I'm a big fan of vote centers, and we should be doing them. It takes a unanimous vote of the election board in each county to do it. We haven't gotten that locally. The Republicans have not been in favor of that here in Monroe County. But I do think it's a good change. You know, elections keep changing. We can vote early. I voted early this year. I was not clear I was going to be here today or might be working the polls, but you got till 6 o'clock, and please get out and vote. Find the polling station. You gave them the websites to check. You can also phone in if you need to find out where to go and do your civic responsibility today.
And if you find out that you've forgotten to register, well, you won't be able to vote today, but you'll be taken care of for the November election. So you can't miss out. You'll get one or the other. That's the best news to put it. Who's on the ballot today, and what are we looking at here in the midterms? Go ahead with that. Yeah,
we have a few federal races that are particularly the congressional race for the 9th district where we are is an open seat since Congressman Hollingsworth announced he's not going to run again. So you've got a bunch of Democrats and a bunch of Republicans both on the ballot today to be their party selection for the fall. There's some state house races that have primaries of significance as well, several of those, and that depends on exactly where you live in the listening area. And then locally in Monroe County, we have a very strong judge race with four candidates. We have a couple other countywide races. The sheriff has got several candidates, both parties. So whether you're Republican or Democrat, there's choices to be made today to help line the ballot up for the fall.
And speaking of that ballot today, you must choose one or the other. That's just how it works, correct?
Yeah, you know, that's Indiana's rule. Those vary state by state. We have a party ballot, so you have to pick one party or the other to vote in a primary. There are a lot of people who think it might be better to have, there's some states, for example, they do kind of an open primary and a top two approach. That's an interesting approach.
Kind of like an at-large?
Yeah, it's like everybody runs together. If any candidate in the primary gets over 50, they're in. But more typically what happens is you have the top two who are under 50 become selected for the final. But that's not how it works here. It could. Several states do that. It's kind of interesting. But in Indiana, by state law, the parties, you have to pick a party ballot to choose and then vote that party ballot. And you're supposed to pick a ballot that you intend primarily to support in the fall, too.
Primary and primarily. That's right. We have so many new people in town. This information is helpful because we have people that are turning of age or people that have moved from different places as we were growing. And it's just not the same. And we're trying to avoid some of those headaches. So the polls will be open until 6 p.m. tonight. It looks like by 8 o'clock, those results will be available, and then we will know once the results are in and everything is certified. Then as the summer, well, I guess the spring and the summer moves on, all of the holes that were not filled will be filled, and then we'll be ready to go in November. Do I have that right? I think I do.
That's right. The parties can fill an unslated candidate. If there's, you know, somebody didn't run in the Democratic Party for a particular race, the party can fill that in till July, and then it's up for the fall. By the way, one thing, we have so many young voters here. Some people don't realize that you don't have to be 18 to vote today. You have to be 18 in time to vote for the November election. But if you're turning 18 in August and you're registered, you can vote in the primary before you're 18, as long as you're 18 by the fall election.
And that's an interesting rule, but a nice rule. it helps out instead of penalizes. So it gets people into the habit of doing it and being excited about it. And away we go. All right. So the May primary, again, we'll end at 6 o'clock tonight. We are reminding you because you only have an hour and 44 minutes and 27 seconds left. You must go now.
Bring your ID, too.
That's it.
Bring your ID.
Identify yourself. This is not until midnight. You can't go on your phone. You can't go to the post office box like all the other procrastinations of all times. News today, we heard in Jim Inman's teaser at the top of the hour, there has been an arrest made in the Kalau nightclub shooting from Little 500 weekend. Let's give kudos to the detectives in Bloomington Police Department that had to sort through the video, the security video and everything else. And then, well, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, you know, that was obviously a very disturbing, upsetting event. We're glad the three victims are all recovering, but very upsetting. And we are very pleased that we were able to identify, the police department, through great work, was able to identify the shooter alleged and identify that person. And they got the name. They were doing their good police work to watch out for where they might find them. And they were able to do that. And yesterday, they actually used, and I think this is one of those examples where you use that protective vehicle, the armored vehicle, when the person was in a particular location and they could be dangerous, and it's a way to keep everybody safe. So the arrest was made without incident yesterday. The person's been booked and charged, and that's a good thing. And we'll let justice do its work. We always remind people that people are innocent until proven guilty, presumed innocent, and we'll let the justice system move forward. But I do want to thank the police and people who helped them, other jurisdictions too, and help them bring this person to the court system.
I think the frustrating part, at least from my angle, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is it's so easy to say, well, it's those people from coming out from out of town because of the party scene. It's somebody from Bloomington. So is it an us problem? It's a societal problem. I'm guessing it's probably D, all of the above.
I like to remind people, overall, our crime rate continues to go down in the area. The biggest exception to that is gun-related offenses and crimes, and this was one of those. And, we know people get angry and they have fights. That's been the nature of our world. And those are unfortunate, but they get really bad when firearms get pulled. And that's what happened here. It was just a very quick bar fight that started and instantly turned into a shooting. And that's frightening and disturbing. And the person was a local person. Anyway, that's it is all of the above, and it takes everybody learning to de-escalate. Just because you're mad at somebody and want to resolve something, it's sometimes usually better just walk away and let things simmer and come back and resolve it a better way later.
I agree. And now the charges that are on record, attempted murder, et cetera, all over whatever happened in the bar. I just don't understand it, but let's be safe. As you mentioned, the crime rate is down. I know the headlines aren't made with the crime rate down. The headlines scream who got shot, and we've had some of those to deal with, but that's good to hear that the rate is not in proportion with the headlines. So that is encouraging as well. How about the overall weekend from Little Five? No news is good news. I would take it in the other direction, correct?
Yeah, you know, we touched on that last week. There was really, other than the shooting, which was, of course, exceptional, there was not an exceptional Little Five weekend. It was the standard fare of a few people imbibing a little too much and doing things they shouldn't do, but it was not dramatic. You know, we're glad there were two great races and thousands of people enjoyed them, and a few people had to pay their penalties the next day, and that happens, but it wasn't anything out of the ordinary in general.
Good.
Yeah.
We there are some records we don't want to set, and that's interesting. Well, it was just like everything else. We didn't have this crowd for the last couple of years, and did we remember how to work it, handle it, whatever it's going to be? So it seems like everybody getting back together in the grand scheme of things was a positive, and that's exciting.
It was. That was good. It's nice to have that happen. Maybe we should give another shout out to our peacekeepers, our public safety folks, all
Absolutely.
Of whom were on duty that day. They were 12-hour shifts, and I went by the police headquarters, and they had pizza, and they were cooking out burgers and dogs to keep everybody fed as they stopped in to get their reports done and get on and off the shift. So they did a great job and you know, generally kept things safe. We obviously had that one incident downtown, and that's regrettable, but we're glad the rest of it was more standard as we're used to seeing on that kind of weekend.
And from all the reports I've read on that incident, I don't know, you could have had five police people standing right out front. It was going to happen regardless, and that's the frightening part of it, because people that bring guns around, in my opinion, this has nothing to do with Second Amendments or defending yourself from the government. It just never works out, it seems like. Let's move on, shall we, to happier topics. Can we do that?
Sure, let's do.
Let's have one more negative topic just in there. Well, it's not negative, but well, COVID, we can't shake it. We saw the Northeast had some issues with it. Now we see the West Coast is, but this is manageable COVID. It's not the worse variant. I don't know how to look at it, but you had I saw the headline, you had five people in the city that had COVID last week.
We had a little bump, I guess. You know, neither of us being epidemiologists, what do they call it, an endemic, and an endemic, not a pandemic, you know, something that is going to be around and cause challenges. It obviously can still be threatening for people who are at risk or who haven't been vaccinated. We're losing many Americans a day still, but you know, I think I heard they estimate 60% of Americans have now had it. You know, we hope more and more keep getting vaccinated and boosted. Please do that. We do see some rise here, but we don't see a dramatic amount. We're going to keep watching that. You know, there was a bump in the day. Did we talk about that last time, that it proved a very high day count in Monroe County, but it proved to be a kind of an anomaly of catching up from months of data? So we have not seen a big spike here, and the hospitals are doing fine. Our deaths are you know, not at all concerning in terms of numbers. So let's keep plugging with that, we hope.
Good, good, good. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05, and we take a look at all the headlines making news in the city. And, well, Bloomington has been chosen, it reads here, as one of the 13 international cities for new Bloomberg innovation training. Well, there's a lot of important words in that headline.
Well, you know, I'm really proud. We have an innovation director in the city. People may not know that. Dave DeKid is our second innovation director. When I came into office, I've worked in government before, and government does a lot of things well. Usually it's pretty slow to change and slow to move, and as the world around us changes, sometimes it's good for government to learn to do that a little faster. So I did actually form an innovation task force with a bunch of outside folks to come in and look at government and make recommendations and how we can be more responsive, be more nimble, be more reactive and proactive. And one of the recommendations was to actually have a person whose job it is to help city government, all 850 others of us, innovate and be quick to change and learn how the world is changing around us, and technology offers different ways to do things. So the Bloomberg, this comes from Mike Bloomberg, the billionaire and former mayor of New York City, and he's got a philanthropy that does look at local governments and helps. And and they help bring a cadre of cities, it happens to be international cities, to come and learn how to do better at what we do, whether it's filling potholes or picking up trash or filling swimming pools or providing parks programs or anything like that. And we're really glad to be part of that this year's group of 13 cities from around the country, the world. And it's no cost to the city. And we just had last Friday, we just had an annual innovation showcase, which was really fun to see what different parts of the city are doing and changing. And there were, different examples that we shared from the leafing program, which is 1,000 households who mulch, to a public works program that was focused on better and analyzing our streets and sidewalks in more powerful ways to identify that, to a number of other things. So it's nice news. Good things.
Awesome. Well, I like that. One of 13. Well, that's not everybody getting one. So that's very, very cool. What else is cool is the Residence Academy. Now, we know this is going to take place in August, but we need people to register. So we'll mention this more than we won't moving forward. I talked to Deputy Mayor Don Griffin about this on Thursday, and I was like, this sounds familiar. It sounds like something we've been doing years before, but there is something different, and it's simply the name has changed.
We did. This has traditionally been called the Citizens Academy, and we've been running it for a couple few decades. And a lot of people, I think it's pretty fun to go through. I have not done it myself. I present as part of the classes, but the people who go through it, you just learn a lot about what's going on in city government and the city. All the things that are, go into bringing clean water to your tap, or that help, how does the fire department really work? And, what do those parks department people do all day? And how does the public housing agency work? And anyway, it's just a lot of interesting things going on. And a lot of the people who go through this, it's a once a week for several weeks, a dozen weeks or so, end up getting involved in city government. They go onto a board or commission that's of interest to them. And some of them end up on city council, I happen to know, and some other, end up running for office. And so we do encourage it. It's called Residence Academy now because it's not limited to citizens, official U.S. citizens or Indiana citizens. If you're a resident of the city, you're welcome to apply to be part of this year's class.
Very cool. And it is how the sausage is made, and it will give you an insight on how the processes do work. And that's why it lasts from August to October as well. You can't cover it all in one day.
Takes a while. Like when, you hear about zoning, well, what is city zoning? Why does that matter? How does that get developed? Or you may hear about the 39 commissions, boards and commissions, say, well, what do they do? Why do they matter? What's the public safety board? What do they oversee? What's the public works board? You mean when you have a picnic or, a parade that they've got to get an approval from a public works board to close the street? I'm like, yeah, you do. Actually, that's how that works,
Well, I think that's the interesting part. It's not for perhaps people who have been involved in committees and boards and commissions and everything else. It's great for new people. It's great for people that are just getting to the age where that matters to them, people moving into town, students, whatever else it is. I don't have a problem with people yelling and screaming from the rooftops as long as they're yelling and screaming at the right people. That's the whole, don't waste our time. But if you're mad at us, just be mad at us, the city, the county, whoever it is. Just yell at the right people. You don't need to run screaming down the street. It's loud and it's noisy. So yeah, get in there.
Go ahead. Sorry, I'm going to mark that as the first rule. Just yell at the right person. That's a start.
Fine.
Okay.
Because then you don't have to say, hey, you just wasted all that energy. Now we've got to go down three doors and around the corner, and then it doesn't matter.
Start all over again.
Right, and it's hard to find that passion all the time. But I think it's interesting because it's easy to sit. It's easy to sit in your recliner and type on the internet how bad and stupid everything is. And I'm not saying everybody's wrong, right, or otherwise, but There's more information if you want to enlighten yourself. What does Ivy Tech have that Jenny Vaughn always tells me about that I love? The Center for Lifelong Learning. If you think you know it all, you're not going anywhere. And you got to evolve, folks. You got to pick it up and see what's going on. So I think it's a great program. Does it cost anything? Do you need to go to every single August through October? People say, well, I can't commit to 10 Thursdays in a row or whatever it is. You don't have to do any of that.
It's free. I do believe there have been people, if they don't keep showing up, they will get kicked from class, if you will.
That's right.
They want to make sure they want to make sure it's used by somebody who will use it, because it's usually oversubscribed, and they keep it to a reasonable couple dozen or so. You made me think. Here's an example of what you talked about and yelling at the right people. So before the pandemic, I think in 2019 we had about 300 or 400 people in City Hall yelling, singing, chanting, exhorting about climate change. And they were very animated and energized, and a lot of young people. And I happened to be, some of them wanted to talk to me. I went out and talked to them, and that was good. And that was a way to engage. However, I will just point out that over the last few Wednesdays, we've had a tax bill in front of the city council that has very much to do with whether we're going to invest in climate change response and mitigation, and hardly anybody shows up to talk about it. And it's interesting, that's kind of where the rubber is meeting the road. And if you remember and realize, wait a minute, this council vote on where is our money going to go really matters a lot. And following up a big event in City Hall with showing up at a council meeting, that's the kind of thing at Residence Academy, you might kind of realize, hey, this is how decisions get made, how budgets get set. So it can be helpful that way too.
And it's how it works. And if you don't like the system that you learn from going through that, that's okay. No one says you have to, you don't have to sign a form at the end that says, I agree with all of this. No, just for people that want the extra knowledge, I think that is brilliant. I would suggest it to anybody who wants to, you have to want to. That's the other part of this. You have to want. Some people are just upset. I get that. You can do that. Now, what is Bloomington Transit doing? The headline here is Bloomington Transit announces the replacement of late evening service with Uber or Lyft, but that has been delayed. I think I missed all of that. Can you fill me in there?
Yeah, so this is Bloomington Transit is continuing to innovate, continuing to evolve and look at how to provide services. So it's kind of it's really a combination of a positive and a negative. The positive is Bloomington Transit is trying to figure out how to provide better public transit services besides just the fixed route services, the big buses that run on fixed routes. We provide that service to people with disabilities right now, paratransit, if you will, BT access. But they're also thinking about, are there ways we can do that and help people access public transit and get connected to the bus system or whatever? So this is, they're thinking about what's called micro transit and using kind of point to point, much like Uber and Lyft. The negative is we're going to launch a pilot program to see how that can integrate with the bus system and work with public transit, help people access public transit. But it's really hard to hire bus drivers and staff right now. And I think the delay has been just kind of the logistics of making sure we have enough service. But again, this is actually part of the local income tax too, we want as many people as can to use public transit to find it convenient. And so this micro transit, this offer, maybe it's from your house to a main bus terminal that you can then go on in a fixed route elsewhere. We're really just evolving how the system can be more flexible and responsive to people and help more people not depend on a private car, whether they're people with disabilities or people with an opportunity to use the transit system. So that got postponed a little bit, but it's still coming, and it's going to be really interesting to see if we can figure out how to do that well.
Is this easier to do in the summertime because of less folks perhaps on campus or whatever, or does the city routes and the Bloomington Transit, how much is that affected by the population on campus?
Yeah, transit's volume does go down significantly in the off-peak, off-student, off-IU cycle. I don't think that changed the cycle for this. Part of it is just getting the nighttime buses fully staffed, being able to run was a challenge, and we need to replace them with this other system. So transit systems are complicated. They just take a while to evolve and change. But I will say we're really excited. You know, I know you've heard me say it before, but I remember I was surprised when I first heard it that Bloomington, Indiana has the highest per capita transit use in the whole state of Indiana. We have more people riding a transit system than any city in the state. And we're actually kind of up there in the nation. We're not New York or D.C., but we have a lot of people using that system, and that's a great asset. It cuts down on traffic. It helps cut down on our environmental impact. So we're always evolving how to do that. Now, they got smacked in the pandemic. Transit use went way down, but they're coming back, and we want to make sure we have as good a system as we can here in Bloomington.
Now, we know the school corporation is struggling with bus drivers. Are you struggling with transit drivers as well?
We are. It's hard. That's a great job. Our John Connell, the general manager of Bloomington Transit, likes to remind people we are offering a career, not just a job. It's a good wage. It's a good career, good benefits. If anybody's interested in it, we got a seat for you, and we'll train you and pay you while we train you.
And, that'll help. Again, we got... That's just been tough. Everybody's been struggling everywhere to find bus drivers. It doesn't matter where you go. And, we'll see if we can crack that code. Okay, before I let you leave, I can't let you go without telling me about the Be More Awards. I'm going to talk to Lucy Shake on Friday this week. And she'll recap the big day, but the big day is Thursday, so I couldn't get her before that because her and her crew are organizing all the great things that are going to go on in the afternoon on Thursday.
Oh, it's a wonderful annual event. It's had to change during the pandemic, but every year we celebrate basically the volunteers of Bloomington, and Lucy Shake helps organize it, runs a great program. I'm glad you get to talk to her and go over the winners, but it's individuals and groups and young people and organizations that just keep making Bloomington better. I once heard a person talking about what a city really needs from its community and its members is for them to give love notes to the city. And what they mean is do something that shows you care for the city and love the city. And this award celebrates some of the people who do the most to help Bloomington be the city we want to be.
And we're not completely up and running yet with this. This is an invitation-only program, so that's why we're not telling you about it. The mayor will be there. We'll hear all about the great things that happened, but this is not a public celebration this time around. We hope by next year we can get back to the Buzzkirk and have some fun. And again, recognize all these people that make our community just run great and help all of our folks that need help and make our city and county and region much, much better. Awesome. Next week's going to be busy as well, but we need to get through. Well, we got Cinco de Mayo coming up on Thursday. You're going to do that with the Be More Awards, so that's good. We've got graduation weekend. Our city's going to fill up. We all need to be patient this weekend. We'll have people in town. We're going to have a little weather. We're going to have people driving the wrong way. We have to enjoy it. And then we lose our winter weight on Monday as some of the undergrads and everybody goes home. And it's summer in Bloomington. We're going to talk about things happening at People's Park next week with things at Switchyard Park. We've got entertainment. We've got summer in Bloomington. All these fun things going on. And don't forget, it's Mother's Day this weekend as well. I've been reminding everybody of that as the week is going as well. Thanks for your time, my friend. We'll do it all again next Tuesday and have a bunch of other stuff to talk about.
Yeah, y'all have a good week, Mike. Good to be with you. See you next Tuesday.